time now for the second hour of the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show on KSCO.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. This hour, we're pleased to present you with the creator of Thrive 2, a new film about how we can create a better future for us all. And it's created by a husband-wife team, Foster Gamble and Kimberly Carter Gamble, both here in Santa Cruz. They also have announced the launch of a new media hub called Thrive On. And Thrive On is a deep digest offering empowering information and tools for those who want a comprehensive picture for what to assess what is happening. It's something that we could really use now, given the elections, for example, and the COVID situation, for example. Welcome, Kimberly. Welcome, Foster, to the show.
Alan's good to be on with you.
Good. Okay. For those unfamiliar with the whole Thrive films, what would you say to them at this point? To start with the first one and move to the second, or just start in with the new film, Kimberly?
Yeah, catch us up on the wonderful Thrive phenomenon that started, I guess, around 2010. Is that right?
Yeah, thank you. It's fun to walk down a little memory lane here. In 2011, we launched Thrive One, and it was really our intention to have a clear and comprehensive diagnosis of what was going on, essentially, that had so much power consolidated in so few hands, and to look at it through a lens of, you know, a bold, a kind of a fearless inquiry and bold solutions. But mostly Thrive One was the diagnostics. And unexpectedly, I would say for us, the movie just took off, and we never did any advertising other than having interviews, and it ended up in over 90 million views and 27 different languages. So it was fabulous exposure for us to a world of people who were interested in solutions that would be more commensurate to the challenges we really faced as we identified in Thrive One. And that's what took us to ultimately make Thrive Two, which focuses more on the best solutions that we found around the world, both in the realm of technology and energy technologies, medical technologies, insights, consciousness tools, all of it. And that we just released at the end of September this year.
Yes, I remember that. We got to go to your intro to that.
Hey, I'm back. You hearing me?
Oh, yes, we hear you.
We hear you great.
We hear you.
Again, a little bit of an echo, so we're going to have to juggle that.
So Thrive 2 was a serious labor of love, from what I could see. You guys did a lot of work to collect this information, these people around the world that suggest that we truly are on the verge of a great renaissance for our species. Now, what did you find most remarkable? What surprised you the most in terms of breakthroughs?
Well, for me, probably the most exciting one was after 20 years of looking for real freestanding, self-looping energy devices that are clean producers of energy, I actually came across three, and they all allowed us to film them for the first time, and two of them are in Thrive 2, and it was just an incredibly moving experience to actually be standing next to this device, one in particular in Africa, that is putting out half a megawatt of energy, enough to run 300 homes in Africa. And it's not plugged into anything. Mm-hmm. It has batteries, but the batteries never lose their charge. So to actually experience energy coming from the field surrounding this generator, and to recognize that nothing was being exploded, nothing was being burned or crushed in order to try to get the energy out. But literally this device was based on radio frequencies. It was dancing with the vibration of the field.
Yes, I think that was the Zimbabwe.
An experience I'll never forget. And as our vetter, a Norwegian engineer named Nils, He's been inspecting these devices for many years, never found anything real. And we interviewed him the next morning after our big test, and he was still kind of in a daze. He said, "I'm still processing, but I think I just saw the end of fossil fuel."
Wow.
No, my understanding is that this is some kind of antenna that picks up energy from the field of the universe itself and translates it into electricity.
Yeah, are you saying that harmonic resonance has energy that we can tap?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because this guy is not a trained scientist at all. He literally got downloads from the field of consciousness in prayer as a teenager and was guided by that. But he really always tuned into radio frequencies. And so he ended up building a unique transmitter in his backyard as a teenager and starting his own little radio station. Of course, the government showed up very quickly and said, "Nah, you don't get to do that." So he thought, okay, well, what can I do with this knowledge that God gave me, you know, in his words? And he had a vision where he was in a rural medical clinic in Africa and people were dying for lack of refrigeration of medicines. And so he came out of that vision in a prayer session and thought, oh, that's something I could do. It would be really useful to be able to access energy anywhere, anytime. So he spent a couple of years working on that, and sure enough, he got it. And now he's got a couple of different generators. He's got an electric car, which doesn't need to be recharged. He built himself a helicopter and learned to fly it from YouTube. I mean, this is a very unusual young character, and I think he's got a real game changer.
Fascinating. Wow. Well, we'll be right back. We're talking to Foster and Kimberly Gamble on Thrive and Thrive 2 and the Thrive Network. We'll be back right after our commercial break. Okay, welcome back to the show. We're talking to Foster and Kimberly Gamble about their new movie, Thrive 2, This Is What It Takes. We were just talking to Foster about what most stood out for him. He was describing an energy machine from Africa that is featured in the film.
And we want to hear from you, Kimberly, because I know you had some thoughts to share on that topic.
Yeah, I think what was most exciting for me was really seeing what was in common with all of the different solutions, because we hadn't intended to make a movie, but it was actually this commonality that inspired us. And I think how I could describe it is that we heard from people and they were all operating from the premise that we are in an open system, that there is a vast matrix of energy that surrounds everything that we are made of and interacting with all the time, and that it's organized.
Life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
And that whether it was through a medical technology or a shamanic consciousness exploration or a new energy technology, they had found a way to tap into, in a reliable way, tap into this organized network of web of energy and pull that energy to our planet for useful application.
You must feel the force around you.
That notion that we're in an open system and that it's possible to access this energy in a reliable way really changed their whole sense of what they think is possible and what they could work with, and shifted the paradigm, not just in energy, but in healing and consciousness and everything else. And that's what first caught my attention and then continued to fascinate me all along the way, because of course, so much of our traditional, like, just if you think about allopathic medicine, that the body is sort of a closed machine and you fix a part, you know, but you don't thinking in terms of its harmonic relationship with the environment, or even organs with each other. And the same with our energy technologies. All this crashing and burning and digging has to do with believing that those are our only options in a closed system. So yeah, it's really a whole new paradigm.
Yes, I hear you. It's more on the lines of Bruce Lipton and his work in the field.
Yes, I was using the Force to create an image of a world that I would love to live in. You know, we can all do that because we all have the Force.
And the Institute of Noetic Sciences and a lot of ancient mystic traditions talk about the Akashic Records. That would be a field as well of information.
The invisible energy world and the physical matter world are all one and the same.
Well, and it's looking at wholeness instead of separateness, and how the energy that we need comes to us because we're connected to something larger than ourselves in an environmental way, in an ecosystem, in a way that we're not alone. We can tap on something beyond ourselves.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. And Bruce Lipton's actually one of the people we have in the movie.
Excellent.
People can check that out.
Energy signals are profoundly more effective in controlling biology than in matter.
You mentioned that there was a network associated with the film. Could you tell us more about that?
You were talking about the wholeness.
Yeah.
Because what we've found in going after solutions to in every major sector of human endeavor is that the key to it, wherever you are, whatever the problem is restoring the wholeness of natural systems.
Hmm.
And what's ended up happening was that after Thrive One, people really were catching on to that notion and getting inspired to create whole systems-based solutions teams in their local areas or virtually online. Wherever Kimberly and I traveled, people would come up after a screening or a talk or a workshop and say, you know, we've got a local team here where we're using the Thrive principles and taking on GMOs or chemtrails or banking schemes or whatever they were. So we ended up creating a hub on our website where they could connect with each other and share best practices. So if someone had, you know, great videos or great information or petitions or lawsuits or fundraising strategies, whatever it was, instead of everybody having to come up with the same thing, they could just go to our resource center and find out what other people had done. So there are now over 1,100 groups in 90 countries around the world who are doing this in a self-created, you know, autonomous way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're bringing that function forward from our old website to our new one. And then we'll be launching after the first of the year our new solutions hub, which will have capabilities in 40 languages and allow people on their mobile devices and so forth to really connect with people anywhere who are working on the same things that they are, and to create these groups that can take on an issue. We actually used this same model here back in 2007 in the Santa Cruz, Monterey area when they were trying to spray us with toxins from the sky for the so-called light brown alcohol.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
And we used this model to organize so that people came together, the lawyers came together with the scientists and the doctors and the media people and the therapists and the philosophers and combined their skills to create a whole systems approach to figuring out, okay, what's going on with this spray? What's the truth? How can we solve that problem? And we ended up stopping a $1 billion program from George Bush Jr. that was going to spray 11 million people in Northern California for up to 10 years with unknown toxins. We found out later what they were. But the key to it is that if you have a whole systems approach, you can solve virtually any problem because you find the truth and then come up with collaborative solutions that can actually transcend the breakdown of a whole system.
Yeah, I want to ask your input on how we approach the problem of fake news or disinformation or even censorship with this self-organizing principle.
I think that's the question of, it's all about information and the exchange of information. And it's interesting because it's one of the things that the field, this unified field that Bruce Lipton and all the others are working with and talking about, is it's a free exchange of information all the time. That's basically what light is. It's what's happening. And the importance of having access to the full array of information and thinking critically and listening to different opinions and determining for ourselves what we believe is so important. And right now it's being restricted like never before, and at great detriment and risk to all of us, in my opinion, and many people's opinion. And so having an independent solutions hub is one of the things that we're aiming to do, is to provide people with a safe place to be able to network and exchange information. And at tribeon.com, that's what we're all about. We will eventually have all kinds of curated materials there from not just ours, but other people, in order to be sure that this information can be out and available to people.
Fortunately, we've got millions of great hackers all over the world who I believe can rescue us, and are already in the process of it, from this kind of censorship. They have made it clear, particularly the Anonymous group, they have made it clear in the past that they can take down major governmental websites or the websites of agencies who are doing this kind of censorship if they continue it. So I see people, including us, going very rapidly to all sorts of alternative platforms like BitChute and Brighteon and MeWe, and the list goes on and on, with alternative truth media sources. And by truth media, I don't mean that anybody has cornered the whole truth, but that the sources are dedicated to finding and communicating the truth as best they can, rather than just promoting pharmaceuticals or a particular nation state or political party or whoever is paying them. So I'm seeing people create their own independent sources of accurate media all over the world. And that's an example of the whole system. When something gets shut down, you know, if a redwood gets cut off, the sprouts will come up around the outside, and all of a sudden you'll have a dozen redwood trees where there was one, because nature wants to keep the wholeness of the natural system.
Okay, so thinking this way, how do you investigate something that's on everyone's mind right now, like the credibility of the elections? For example, do you have multiple sources that you use to do that?
Just a short answer before we go to the break, and then we can go more deeply afterwards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the credibility of the elections, for example, how can we approach that in the most intelligent, holistic way?
Yeah, I am fortunately connected with over 100 different sources around the world that I check in on pretty much every day. I check in on the traditional sources, but then I also check in on alternative sources on the internet. And then I have individuals who are very informed and investigative into different issues all over the world, and I can be in touch with them at any time. So I gather as much of that as I can every day, analyze it, cross-reference it, and try to figure out what's actually going on.
Oh, good. Well, we look forward to hearing some of your researches. Got to go to our break, and we'll be right back. We're talking to Foster and Kimberly Gamble on the Thrive Network right now. Welcome back to the show. We're talking to Thrive 2 creators Foster Gamble and Kimberly Carter Gamble on their new media hub, as well as the new movie Thrive 2. You guys are both there?
We are here.
Okay, very good.
So we were just talking about election information and how we can know most truthfully how to believe what the media is sharing with us.
Well, that's a big topic right now.
Yeah.
Well, just, you know, just how you begun to research that, because everyone is in our audience are looking at this in their own way. And whatever tips we can get from you on, obviously, a serious researcher on this topic would be most appreciated.
In looking at the various sources that I was mentioning,
yeah,
I'm just seeing a consistency not only to the corruption in this particular election, but there's some of the researchers who've taken it all the way back to basically Nelson Rockefeller. And he was a partial funder of a company that created the first automatic voting machine. Once they succeeded and showed him how you could read the votes with that, he bought the device and he bought the company. And that was really the beginning of automatic rigging of elections in the U.S. And they used those same devices. That went on to become Diebold, you know, went on to become Smartmatic and Dominion and so forth. And they used them in third world countries for years, for decades, to affect elections. And now, well, now in big time, it's coming back here. And the evidence looks like it's going to be available within the next couple of weeks. And I think it's going to be not only a shocker for this particular election, but I think it's going to wake people up all over the country and all over the world to the corruption that's been going on for a long time. And I hope that it will help people question the whole notion of voting for our rulers anyway. But that's a whole nother topic.
Right. That's one of my favorite things about you as a philosopher, Foster, is getting people to question the idea of anyone having the right to infringe on anyone else's rights. Maybe you could talk about that a little.
To me, it's the most important topic on planet Earth. I think if we don't explore this one, we'll be fortunate to survive, much less thrive. I spent a long time looking back in history and seeing, okay, what's the truth to Martin Luther King's comment about the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. And if you go back to the pharaohs and then the kings and the dictators and, you know, up to democracy, we're making tremendous progress. And the progress is going in the direction of increasing individual freedom. But what people don't realize for the most part is we're not there yet. Even if elections were honest and even if we were actually a democracy or a real republic, it's still mob rule. The one thing that doesn't get questioned is, wait a minute, why does anyone get to or have to rule in the first place? And that's what we've been researching, Kimberly and I, for 15 years now. And I'm in the midst of a book about this. And it's been really encouraging for me to see that when I look into each area, security and conflict resolution and pollution and all this, you look into each area and not only could it work better with independent organizations, businesses, association clubs, and so forth, competing in the free market for good pricing, reliable service, and all of that, but also being held accountable at the individual level for any violations of the non-aggression principle, which simply says that no one is allowed to initiate force against anyone else except in true self-defense. So I think not only are the solutions possible without anybody ruling, I think it's the only way ultimately that it's going to work.
I think one of the things about this is that there's a beacon of freedom and sovereignty, and then there's how could we possibly get there? And I think really the offering of Thrive On, and you can go to thriveon.com and see there's all kinds, you know, there's articles and there's the movie Thrive One and Thrive Two and director's cuts, there's all kinds of stuff there. But the offering really is a comprehensive look and often a historical look, so that when you're looking into something like voting, it's everything from the history of what are these companies that are now being implicated in potential corruption with the voting system in terms of the machines. So what's the history of the voting machine, like Foster traced back to Rockefeller, but what's the history of the CDC? What's the history of Fauci? What are the history of the sources of information that we're getting? And especially with regard to institutions and these supposedly credible, well-vetted institutions of knowledge that we're supposed to be trusting, like to actually track it back and find out, are these in fact trustworthy sources, and what's some of the history that we should be aware of? And then in doing that and unpacking the levels of corruption, instead of seeing, whoa, it's an isolated instance over here and there's corruption over here, it's that this notion of authority and that we should abdicate our rights, our judgment, our freedom, even our ability to control what is done with our own bodies, that others should have that decision. I feel like we're headed kind of careening into such an extreme expression of that paradigm. And the notion of the non-aggression principle and of rules but no rulers and this whole new way of looking at it, I think is an opportunity to say, on the other side of this, this is going to play out here. Other countries have gone through, never at a global scale like now, but there have been takeovers before and people revolt. And what happens is they just put in another system of authoritarian rule, and then eventually the same pattern plays out again and again.
Yeah, out with the old boss, in with the new.
Yes, exactly. So, the real work here and taking the time to be so comprehensive with what's the problem and with what's the solution, the idea is to say, okay, what if we transcend this paradigm and this time we look to replace it with something else? Because if you look around now, when I look around, I can say, look, we don't agree. Good, smart people do not agree on what's going on or what to do about it. So the bottom line becomes not how can I convince you or coerce you into believing what I believe, but how can we live together here with our disagreements? That's the challenge.
Yes.
Disagree agreeably.
Well, how would how would you evolve the paradigm that we so often deal with on talk radio, like socialism versus capitalism, that kind of thinking?
Well, I think that it's, for me, I always work from what's the problem that we're solving backward. So I have plenty of socialist friends in my life, and we have these discussions often because I'm not a proponent of socialism, but I do support helping people in need on our way to a truly free and thriving world. I mean, we have a completely corrupt money system. The notion of talking about the free market, unregulated, being the way to freedom, it's like, wait, what? How could we get there? And so there are actually certain things that a socialist would propose that I would say, yes, right now we need to be making sure that people have what they food. But instead of creating this endless welfare planet of dependency and disempowerment, what about empowering people with tools and education and all the rest so that we have a way for people to become sovereign, whole, independent people and decentralize economies and get rid of this stranglehold on the money and really take it on? When Foster was talking about restoring wholeness, it's like, yeah, we got to come at this in a whole systems way because the problems are coming at us in a whole systems way. So for me, with socialism, capitalism, there's important parts that we're trying to solve that each way of thinking is trying to address. And if we look and get beyond those systems into the non-aggression principle, the only one that really brings forth the kind of accountability that's needed. Like if you couldn't hide behind your corporate position in a corporation that's polluting like crazy, and you were personally accountable for everything that you do and the decisions that you make, you can have insurance and all that with your business, but that changes things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like to address that for a moment, too, if I may, because it's such a critical distinction at this particular time in human history. And I think that we've all been fooled to a great degree by these distinctions around socialism, capitalism, because the capitalism was actually a term created by Marx to basically demean the system of voluntary exchange in order to centralize control. And what I'd like to do is point out that most of the isms, communism, fascism, socialism, so even democracy, republicanism, and so forth, they're all systems of a few people controlling the rest. But capitalism is not what people think it is. It's not a system where the elite get to rule over other people. What we're really after is a condition of freedom, which gets reflected economically as individual voluntary exchange. And who doesn't want to be able to do the trade, sales, barters, loans, whatever you want to do individually in your life without some state coming in and telling you what you can and can't do and taking your money arbitrarily and so forth? So capitalism has gotten a really bad name because we're not in a free market right now. We're in a giant state intervention, centrally controlled system with corruption in the form of fake money, fiat currency and fractional reserve, where only the banks get to loan out and they get to loan out your money 10 times over.
Yeah.
And they get to print it whenever they want. And then when they get in trouble, of course, they can get bailed out by the taxpayer. I mean, it's a complete global mafia. And what I like to do, and one of the reasons I was excited to come on this show, I've been following you guys for a long time, is that you take an approach to things from the scientific method. So if you actually look to see what's the truth about what's going on and what works and what doesn't, if you have the hypothesis that, well, would a free market work? Would voluntary exchange work? You look back in history, the scientific evidence is that it's lifted more people out of poverty than anything by far in history. And to whatever degree it's allowed to work, the studies are, every year the studies come out that people are more secure, more happy, and more prosperous to the degree to which they have economic and political freedom. So in Thrive 2, we laid out the unified field theory, and then we showed how it's being applied in energy, in health, in consciousness. But then also we brought it the same principles of vibration, frequency, and resonance, and honoring the wholeness of each system to the human level. And that's where we wanted to communicate that scientific evidence is that if you want to be in harmony and resonance with the field, which we have to figure out how to do that with all of our systems if we're going to actually thrive on a healthy planet, the key to that is allowing people to be free to do what they want as long as they're not violating other people. So no one gets the right to coerce other people.
All right. We're going to go to a break. Good stuff. Thank you, Foster.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We're talking to Foster and Kimberly Gamble on the Thrive Network and Thrive 2, the movie that just came out. Welcome back to the show, you guys.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, we have some questions from the audience. One person is wondering, Foster, are you a scientist or a philosopher?
I think that they're the same, and I hope that I'm both. I think that philosophy is the application of the scientific method to the search for truth in order to apply it in ethical behavior.
Now, I am very interested in hearing you guys describe the Freedom Portal and how we hit the ground running with our intention.
Well, Foster's really head of the Freedom Portal, but I'll just first describe where it fits in the overall context. So our mission here, what we're doing is we've offered these movies. One is really unpacking in a diagnostic deep dive into what's the problem. Because just like with your body, the better you understand what's wrong, the better you can go straight for
it. We lost you there, Kimberly.
Oh, sorry.
You're back.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. Twice. Yeah, the feedback.
All right. So Foster is really the one leading the Freedom Portal. So I'll hand it to him. But I just want to put it in context. What we've done is we created Thrive One as this diagnostic. So just the same way with your body that you want to know, instead of just vaguely you don't feel well, if you could understand what's the problem, you have a much better chance of resolving it. And that's what we did, sort of looking at the world. And Thrive 2 is really a great overview of some of these best solutions that we found all around the world. And what are the principles in common to them? And then at thriveon.com, that's where we put it all together and offer an array of the principles and the strategies and the information and current events and all the rest. And Foster has created the Freedom Portal, which he can describe. And it's just a fabulous way to take advantage of going so much deeper into the issues, because just taking the surface view, we can't solve things if we only have how they're spun. So Foster, why don't you describe what you're doing again?
Yeah, we put out the movies to establish a baseline of, if our message makes sense to you, then what we found is then most people want to interact and ask questions about it, get more clear, challenge things, add in their own wisdom and so forth. So we opened up the Freedom Portal so that we can be engaged in that conversation with humanity. As you know, it's so great to be able to be in conversation on the internet with people from all over the world.
Sure.
And so on Saturdays for a couple of hours, we get together and open up this portal. And there's three different modes to the shows. The first one is that I, or sometimes Kimberly and I, will present in depth on a topic. We call it Seven Levels Deep. There is light at the end of the rabbit hole. So we'll present on some subject like the elections or like COVID or like free energy and so forth. And then we'll have take questions at the end. Then the second show of the month is all Q&A. So we can just really engage in depth, do rapid fire questions, and find out what people out there in the network are thinking. And people ask me questions and I ask other people questions as well. So that's super exciting for people who really want to engage in it. And then the third one we call Worldview Pioneers. That's when we bring on cutting edge experts in whatever topic we're exploring for the month. This month we have been going deep into the COVID situation. So in one roundtable, we're bringing on Dr. Robert Young and Dr. David Martin and Del Bigtree for a roundtable on, okay, what's the science? What's the status of investigation? And what's the status of activism? So those are the type of things that we have. It's a subscription, an inexpensive monthly subscription for people who, more than just hearing about something now and then, actually want to engage in the conversation and go deep. And then that leads naturally to discussion of solutions and ultimately to the function of the Solutions Hub.
Are these like Zoom panel discussions?
Yes.
Yes, very worthwhile. I appreciate the way you're facilitating a very intelligent group mind.
Thank you. That's the intention, because humanity is so good and smart and creative. If we're liberated to be that way, and if we've got accurate information. So just like you're doing with this show, the challenge is to get, for any live system, is to get accurate feedback so that we can do what's needed next.
Right. And also having an area where you can navigate people's need to be heard, even though they have differences.
Yes.
Because the public airwaves are suppressing that conversation.
Yeah, and so are the universities and even the elementary and high schools now. The powers that be have basically drained the critical thinking out of our educational institutions, and they've really become, unfortunately, most of them centers of indoctrination for control of the masses by a few. So it's really the time where if we can win the info war, if we can have enough honest conversation and enough real science to find out what's going on and then take the natural steps to restore the wholeness of natural system, we truly, within 20 years, could be living on a really thriving planet. We've already got these cures for cancer. We've got free energy. We've got the unified field theory. People are expanding their consciousness like crazy. We just need to expose this scourge of authoritarian control and censorship of health freedom and all that type of thing, and actually expose that and then liberate ourselves from it. And I honestly, it's a daunting task, but I really think that it's coming, and it's coming soon.
Yeah.
In addition to information, it's really our also learning and practicing how to respect each other in our differences and in this exploration, and keep the love and the connection while, you know, getting through some really uncomfortable and threatening differences. That's something that we're actually going to be speaking to in next month's Freedom Portal, is how to have these difficult conversations with people and maintain the connection and be respectful and practice that, because it's as critical as the information.
Absolutely. I call it navigating the fears. The fears and the reactions.
Yeah.
And taking these conversations into your own circle of social connections.
Yeah, and you can see where consciousness and activism and all of that come together, because if we don't have ways to stay centered and speak from our best selves with each other when we're triggered and do all that, then it's not going to work. And so I feel like it is our opportunity. Right now, we are really faced with an opportunity to be our very best at how to figure out how to solve this, and allowing ourselves to be divided left, right, black, white, gender, whatever it is.
And you're looking at how to reframe all of this, including the way we deal with finances as well, right?
Exactly. Yep. The whole thing. And it's all about decentralized, empowering sovereign individuals to express their independence in a way that doesn't harm anybody else. And there are so many ways to do that and so many innovations to be born of it.
Would you say that there are any biological metaphors would help describe the new processes unfolding?
You mentioned Bruce Lipton before.
Yes, he's a fine example of that, for sure.
Yeah, he does a great job of explaining that a cell isn't just a master control unit from the nucleus of the cell. It's actually an interactive function. The cell membrane is an interactive function with its environment. In other words, it's subject to the field, and so are all of us.
Right.
I really encourage people to go to ThriveOn.com, and if you haven't seen Thrive One, watch that first. That's available for free. And then if you have seen it, dive into Thrive 2. That's available to rent or to purchase. And we tie together a lot of dots. It's a little over 2 hours. But it's very entertaining, very beautiful. And we're trying to save people decades in
a couple of hours. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, that's great.
That's the end of the show.
Wonderful Thanksgiving weekend movie. Enjoy with the families. Yeah. Lots to think about and talk. Thank you guys for being on the show so much. Really appreciate it.
ThriveOn.com, everybody.
ThriveOn.com.
KSEO
Santa Cruz. Thanks for listening.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving.